This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 23rd, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-30, Revolution Messaging, and we have Mr. Neil Reif and Ms. Elizabeth Howard joining us this afternoon. Thank you for coming. We have a presentation from the Office of General Counsel, Ms. Joanna Wallstriker.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Agenda Document 12-62 is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Revolution Messaging, LLC. As an application provider of text messaging services, Revolution Messaging administers mobile communications programs. The request asks the Commission whether two elements of a proposal to allow wireless users to make contributions by text message comply with the Act and the Commission regulations. First, the requester proposes to allow users to make contributions by text message, aggregating in excess of $50 per month and $200 per calendar year or election cycle, so long as the users provide identifying information to Revolution Messaging, which it will then provide to the recipient political committees. Second, the requester proposes to allow political committees to share common short codes that are used to designate the recipient of a contribution made by text message by assigning unique keywords to each political committee. The draft concludes that the proposal complies with the Act and Commission regulations. The proposal will allow political committees to comply with the record-keeping and reporting provisions of the Act and Commission regulations. The proposal to use shared common short codes in combination with unique keywords will effectively segregate contributions to a given political committee from other funds. We did not receive any comments on the request, and we received one comment on the draft. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments for Mr. Reif or Ms. Howard? Commissioner McGinn.
Thank you. Your client is Revolution. The draft concludes with question one. It says, Commission concludes, therefore, that the proposal described above will comply with the record-keeping and reporting requirements of the Act and Commission regulations. Your client actually doesn't have any record-keeping and reporting requirements under the Act. Your client's clients have record-keeping and reporting obligations, and it seems like you're taking on or helping those, we'll call them customers, with best efforts and the like. The concern I have with this AO, and I've had with some of the previous AOs, is treasurers of committees being able to comply, file reports, get the information they need and whatnot. Is the intent of the AO to have a piece of paper that then will also protect your customers?
We are obviously trying to come up. We've come up with a workflow here that we believe is compliant with the Act. And, of course, we want to give the clients of Revolution Messaging assurances that that workflow and process complies with the Act.
Okay. I agree it works under the Act. My concern is the reach of the AO protection. Because it's not clear that it would extend. It sort of says it, but not as clearly as I think it could. It doesn't make sense to say that it complies with record-keeping and reporting requirements if it doesn't apply to those who have record-keeping and reporting requirements.
Could certainly add that as clarification.
Okay. That's my only question for
counsel. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
We got a comment.
Yep, Commissioner Wells.
We just got a comment a little earlier by CTIA. Do you have any comment on that?
Absolutely. We believe that the use of common short codes has been prevalent in the industry for many years. So we believe the comment is overstated in terms of their argument that it's confusion and that each committee should have its own short code.
Do you do anything to see if any short code that somebody's using is confusingly similar with somebody else's short code? I mean, I see where this is done. I was where I guess Mobile Giving Foundation has 12 short codes used for over 1,000 different programs. So, I mean, I know it's not a strange thing, the way you're proposing it, but is there some way to alleviate a possibility of confusion?
Well, it's not the short code that causes the confusion. It's the use of the keyword.
The keyword.
And if you notice in our request, we said a couple of things. First of all, we are going to notify all of our clients that they're on a common short code. So there'll be an opportunity to be a cross-vetting amongst clients to make sure there is no confusion.
How would they do that?
Well, we would also, if there was even a remote chance that a short code was, or name of a candidate was close or similar, like Warner, we would make sure that the keywords were sufficiently different so there would be no confusion. We have full control over that.
Okay, so you actually are in a position to deal with that problem.
Absolutely.
That's all I had.
Commissioner McGann?
On the short code issue, the comment that came in, the way I take it is ultimately it's still up to the CTIA folks, meaning the phone companies, as to whether or not you're going to be able to do short codes or how many short codes. I mean, they could, for their business model, decide, right? And I think
absolutely.
We had given them a clean yes, I thought, on that point. There's been some subsequent comments in the press.
No, I think that issue was addressed in the MCUBE 2 and also in the CTI advisory opinion. And we didn't obviously ask for any clarification of that in our request.
Okay. The draft, as it sits before us, though, a question two, there's a paragraph, page 11, begins line 16. First paragraph is a yes, it's a simple yes and yes to the question, but then the paragraph, corporate vendors must generally maintain separate accounts and segregate contributions, that paragraph. It cites CTIA 1, which I thought was superseded, at least in part, by MCUBE, because the MCUBE AO actually has a footnote that talks about superseding AOs. It doesn't specify, but I certainly thought that's what we were doing at a minimum. The separate account concept is something that's been with the commission for a long, long time, but it seems to have been jettisoned, rightly so, I think, in MQ, because there are other ways to achieve the same goal, which is complying with the statute. There's nothing in the statute or the regs that says you have to have separate accounts as a vendor or a political consultant, right?
Right.
It's not like, the Pipefitters case that said that's a PAC and a union. It's two separate concepts. But yet we still have this language in the draft, which I didn't really focus on until kind of like Commissioner Peterson, the last one on the break, read it and said, I read it last night and I thought this is odd and I wanted to think about it. It seems like we're reinserting the separate account things unnecessarily, because the next sentence, page 12, first line, the use by a connection aggregator of common short codes to track contributions made via text messages to political committees achieves the goal of maintaining contributions and corporate funds in separate accounts. Well, it achieves the goal of ensuring corporate funds aren't going to campaigns, but it doesn't really achieve the goal of separate accounts. It's sort of separate accounting. It certainly achieves the goal of keeping the money separate, consistent with the law.
Sure.
But I have some concerns on the actual language of the AO, that this can be seen as a retreat from MCUBED and CTIA 2.
Yeah.
And notwithstanding what many see as a clean yes on CTIA 2, there's already some noise around that maybe it's not as clean as some of us had thought. So I'd like to throw it out to my colleagues if they would consider some edits to this part to tighten it up, because I'm not sure we need to really cite CTIA 1. If folks still think it's good law, that's their prerogative. I'm not sure it is, and we don't really need to reach that issue. But to me, it could be tighter, and the whole discussion of separate accounts. And before I throw it out to the commission, I'd like to ask Requester, do you have any reaction to that? Does that change your client's trying to achieve?
I'll point out that we didn't even discuss this issue in our request. We didn't discuss money flow at all. It wasn't something we were even requesting clarification on. We were not representing in our request that we would be acting as an aggregator, so it really isn't pertinent to our request.
The language is you wouldn't disagree. I won't make you agree, but you wouldn't disagree that paragraph, that sort of language, is not necessary.
I wouldn't disagree.
It's not language that you suggested. You don't disagree.
It is not, and I wouldn't disagree.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments, Madam Vice Chair?
I came in here today prepared to support the draft. I thought we were all going to support the draft. I think that the requester has come up with another way of using text messaging to promote political donations by small donors. I think that's a good goal. I think we've all agreed that's a good goal. And as we said in the M-Cube opinion, there's not only one way to skin that cat. So they came up with one way. You've come up with another way. It's all good. I'm not exactly clear because I wasn't I appreciate it's been a busy week, but I was not this issue wasn't flagged for me until we were, you know, literally about to walk into the room, so I'm not really sure what the edit even is that my colleagues are proposing.
Madam Chair, you mentioned whether we're going to vote today on this or not.
Right.
Are we or not?
Well, I think what we could do is circulate the edits. They've been described by Commissioner McGann. It's essentially deleting the paragraph that he referenced and maybe a couple of other sort of relatively minor changes. So we're happy to circulate that after the meeting and make it blue so that requester is able to see it as well. And then hopefully we can vote on a tally vote sometime in the near future.
Okay. I mean, I'm for this as it stands, but there's nothing wrong with making it better. So if that's the way you want to do it, I mean, I can support that.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner
McGann. To preview a little more detail, page 11, lines 16 through 23, that paragraph, I don't think is necessary for what this AO is talking about, which is text messaging. And then the first sentence of the next paragraph would probably have to massage a little bit to make it flow a little bit better. So the edit is essentially crossing out that paragraph, and then, to the extent someone wants a footnote that says this doesn't alter past AOs regarding non-text messaging, so that people want to make clear we're not abandoning separate accounts, that's fine. But for text messaging, we've kind of already crossed the bridge of MQ. The other thing I'd like to throw out and get maybe take temperature now is how much cover can we give treasurers of committees. I don't want to tie up the requester on it, but on the other hand, in MQ1, there's a footnote that says the commission's not going to – we didn't answer the question in MQ1. We haven't answered it. And my concern is committees start getting various kinds of data in different forms, whether it's a list of phone numbers from one kind of business model or however you're going to present the best efforts data to your customers. I don't think it's the kind of situation where we can say to the committees or just assume they'll figure it out. I think what will happen is somebody will sign up for this. They won't be sure what to do. They'll start calling 694-1100. They may call RAD. They may get two different answers because, well, the commission hasn't given an answer. So to the extent we could at least in this AO make a little more clear that if a committee is a customer of Revolution and follows this model, they're also compliant, I think that would go a long way, because otherwise it's easy to say yes to this, but in other ways it could be an illusory yes, because if the committees aren't comfortable, you're not necessarily getting your business objective.
Sure. That would certainly be appreciated. So
to the extent we can spiff that part up a little bit. I don't think it takes much, and I don't have specific language yet. And it could be if enough people at the table say it covers, maybe that's enough. But it'd be nice if we're in the AO somehow this will protect those who sign up for this service.
Sure.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I certainly support taking a little bit more time to make sure we get this right. And I also just wanted to address what Commissioner Walther brought up earlier, the comments that were brought in recently before a meeting by CTIA. Because the thing that flagged in my mind was we could approve this, but if those who ultimately are in charge of administering and handing out these short codes decided that they have real concerns, then it would be kind of a futile effort. And so I think taking a little bit of extra time to consider their comments and whatever subsequent comments they may submit to us, I think is something that I want to consider as well.
Madam Vice Chair.
I wonder if we could announce a time limit on that. I know CTIA said that they would like to comment further, but, you know, maybe we could give them a deadline, because I don't want to hold up the requester while we're waiting for somebody else to comment. You know, if we don't give a deadline, then who knows how long, you know, without a deadline, nobody ever gets anything done. So, I was prepared to vote for this today. I don't want to hold up this requester indefinitely. If we could, I had discussed with the chair whether maybe we could do this on tally next week. If we could, I mean, I don't know, I'm Monday, Tuesday, I don't know, you want to set a deadline?
I was going to say Tuesday or Wednesday. Did you have a comment, Mr.
No, I just want to emphasize that definitely the time is of the essence here, based upon the, you know, the election coming up so quickly and the amount of time it takes to get these things set up. So the sooner we can get this done, the better. And I do appreciate the commission expediting this. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you. Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too, was prepared to support this draft. I'm happy to look at edits along the line that Commissioner McGann talked about. I would note that I think, as I agree with Commissioner McGann for the first time today, maybe, but that as CTIA's comments points out, it still retains, as we described in very specific language, CTIA and its carriers retains the ability to set criteria based on its business practices or however we set it in that advisory opinion. And I don't think that anything about this request has an impact on it. It's not asking us to make any changes to that. I don't think that that there anything about what we say in this advisory opinion alters what happened, what we did in the advisory opinion request from last week. So I hope we can move this along as quickly as possible. I don't think that it's fair to one requester to hold it up for too long. If we want to set a comment deadline of next Monday or Tuesday and try to get this out by late next week, I would support that, and I think we should move as quickly as we can. So I'd support the chair's efforts in doing that. I also just wanted to make one comment about this particular request. I appreciate the requester's ingenuity and appropriate commitment to the idea of trying to help these committees get as much of this information as possible so that they can meet their disclosure requirements. And I think this request demonstrates that fostering more engagement from people is not incompatible with transparency and disclosure. So I want to commend your client on those efforts. And like I said, this will all be dependent, of course, upon the carriers setting up this criteria, and that, of course, will take some time. So I do hope that we can move along as quickly as we're able to.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to comment on Commissioner Bowerly's point that just like in the CTIA and the MCUBE advisory opinions, there were a lot of discussion about things that the commission determined had nothing to do with the disposition of the advisory opinion. And I think the same applies here, that the issues being raised by CTIA here, while they may be issues with regard to the industry, they really have nothing to do with the disposition of this advisory opinion.
Okay. Thank you. So maybe we could let CTIA know that they have until Tuesday, sort of the compromise date. I think that's August 28th, to comment on this advisory opinion. In the meantime, we'll circulate and make public the edits that we've described here today and plan to vote on a tally vote soon.
Madam Chair, in addition to CTIA, though, shouldn't we make a press release come out today saying that we are going to extend the time for comment until next Tuesday or something like that?
Sure.
So anybody can,
yes,
including the requester.
I just want to make sure they knew that there was a hard deadline. I don't believe they're here today, but yes, absolutely. Anybody else who wants to comment is certainly free to do so as well.
So just to clarify for anybody who's listening, we're saying Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Tuesday, which I think is August 28th.
I have a question. Are we saying Tuesday to comment on a new draft, or what do we comment to comment on what exactly by Tuesday?
On the old draft, the new draft, the comment that was filed, whatever.
Got it.
So anything.
So we would expect a new draft, obviously, in the next 24, 48 hours. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming this afternoon.
Thank you.